offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, a series where we study the 1990 Samukul's discourses. We've gone through 14 discourses in that series. The 15th discourse is what we're going through. It also happens to be the penultimate discourse in that series. We are hoping to complete it this week. So with prayers to Swami, I welcome my co-host, Brother Sai Prakash. But we're also glad that we're not alone today. Along with myself and Sai Prakash, we also have one of the alumnus of Swami's University. And more than just an alumnus of Swami's University, he is also a former colleague of ours. And it wouldn't be right to call him a former colleague, because even now he works for Radio Sai. Even though he has moved on in his career, he does a lot of work for us. So it's with a lot of happiness and joy I invite Brother Sai Krishna to our program today. Sai Ram, Sai Krishna.
Sai Ram.
I'm very happy to have you on our program, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam.
I am more than happy, actually.
And coming to the discourse which we are discussing, the 15th discourse, Ascent of Man. We were in that last part where Swami started speaking about, initial part of the discourse, Swami spoke about morality in society, the relevance of spirituality,
correct,
and the relevance of control of the senses and all that.
Correct.
And we came to that part where how should that express itself?
Mm-hmm.
And when Swami started speaking specifically to students.
Correct.
And I think that's the point we were in last week.
You know, when Swami is talking about sacrifice, I'm just seeing here, when Swami spoke about giving up bad habits and bad qualities, it's like somebody said, giving up smoking is very easy because I give it up every day.
Right. So it's a quote of Mark Twain, I think.
Is it?
Right.
I don't know that. But so we make it very light, as if, anything that we want we can give up. But here Swami again reiterates that it's not the family or property or your relatives that you have to give up, but it is actually your bad qualities that you have to give up.
Right.
And then after that he moves on to what are the qualities that we should give up. And he says the 16 qualities that man should actually give up.
Right. And then that little exposition about Bhagavatam.
Mm-hmm.
Swami says bhakti should intensify itself to such an extent that it transforms itself into jnana.
Yes.
And that jnana should give you vairagyam, and that vairagyam will lead you to that tattva darshanam or tattvam, as Swami would say, and that finally leads you to mukti.
Mukti. But you know, before that, doership and enjoyership, when Swami is talking about that, he said you should give up doership and enjoyership. I'm just reminded of, when I got the opportunity to play the sitar mm-hmm. in front of Swami. Swami, first question he asked, you will play or what? He has no vaistava.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment he said no vaistava, I was immediately, kind of cautioned from within. And I told Swami, no Swami, you have to play through me. And Swami said, yes, that is correct answer. So I'm sure Brother Sai Krishna here would have had similar experiences when Swami would have, from the outside prompting you to sing and from inside prompting you to sing.
Actually, when you are talking about, this whole episode actually today is about how youth are the building blocks and how we need to give up some things that help us actually, but mm-hmm. we think we are giving up for somebody. There was in 2006 Kodai trip, I was fortunate to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
One day actually Swami, literally he played out a sequence, he
okay.
planned and played out a sequence in which he showed how much he cares for the youth development, how serious he is. Whole day he has done this. So what happened was morning, we all were sitting around Swami. And Swami said, I think the purpose of my avatar is not being achieved. I am upset.
Mm.
He said like this, okay? Mm-hmm. And then he said, I don't think so, I will talk. I will move on. That's what he said. In 2006, Kodai trip. It might even be documented actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, we all were very, very moved, because Swami was almost in tears while saying this. Then he said, now you all go, whatever you want to do. So everybody around, Narasimha sir was there and everybody around Swami, all the devotees around Swami, students around Swami, they were praying to Swami, Swami, please tell us what we should do to, you know, overcome this. And whatever mistake we have done, we are ready to rectify. Please tell us. But Swami didn't say anything. Swami said, I am not in mood to talk. Just don't disturb me. That's what he said.
Okay.
Then we were sent for shopping that day actually. Swami said, okay, you go, you purchase whatever you want and come. We were in no mood to go anywhere. First of all, Swami is not talking. And so we just went out and we came back. And that day evening, Swami told, I want to give a discourse. And then Swami called for the mic and he started by saying, from today morning, I seemed to be very upset. I told the people around me, the students, that I am very upset and I want to move on. There is a reason to it. Mm-hmm. Because all the students, all the devotees, when you are with me, when you are near me, you are very good. You seem to be very good. You seem to be getting everything right. You seem to be doing everything what Swami wants. You are a Sai student. You are a Sai devotee. But the moment you go out, something is lacking in you. Something is happening. You are overturning everything that I have put in you. It's almost like I have put holes in a pot and put it in a river. And then when I take it out of river, the whole water is going off. What all I put has got holes. I am realizing that. Mm. That is happening. I am not understanding. Today morning when I said I am upset, you all said you want to do any, you will do anything that I say to rectify this. Some even said that I will give up my life. Mm-hmm. But what I want you to do is not give up your life. Mm-hmm. What I want you youth, you students, so much time I am spending on you, what I want you to do is to live for me, not die for me. So Swami said, live for me. That moment is, I can say till today, that moment is something that changed my outlook towards what Swami has towards nation building. You have to live for a cause. You have to live for something. You have to sacrifice so that you are living for something. That's what...
Exactly. I think one of the clips which we played out sometime back in that, Swami says the necessity for idealism. You know, the parents and teachers are not infusing that idealism in students because of which they don't have this reason to sacrifice. They don't find the need to control their desires, find the need to go out and do something other than just grabbing for themselves.
If you see in this just course of these things, because Sai Prakash was saying about doership, maybe you would have even discussed this many times. Prema Pravaham is something which we all cherish and we would have discussed multiple number of times. But the whole episode, I was part of this whole journey with Sai Prakash and we were deeply involved in this whole exercise. And correct. We knew, if we
just
were
to inform our listeners who might not know, Prema Pravaham is that program which was planned for Swami's 85th birthday. Planned and executed, of course.
Yeah, planned and executed by Swami actually, because I want to from beginning I want to say it's not we who did it.
Right.
Because if you see the piece today, if you see it once again, even the composer of the music, Rajkumar Bharti, recently in interview and even many times off the record, he said that if this would have to be repeated again, it cannot be done. Because it went so perfectly, so smoothly, and I think every one of you should see and enjoy and believe what is non-doership. Even Sai Prakash would say, wouldn't be able to edit the same thing and put together another Prema Pravam of 7 songs.
Impossible, impossible. And just to add an icing on the cake, the screen which Swami was supposed to see, you know, there was a huge, I think it was 16x12 screen, LED screen that was put up in just behind the road in Shantivedika. So Swami is seated on his throne and he will have a straight vision, straight view of the screen. Swami went out from the ground quite late on that morning. And the police people had stopped the screen. they were not allowing it to be brought into the ground.
Okay.
And the tension was building, and I prayed to gods, demigods, semi-gods and everybody around. And finally, they did allow the screen to come in. It took 2.5 hours for it to be set up. And everything was set up and I said, thank you, Swami. And we put it on. And it was full of faults. There were lines coming all along. On the entire screen, there were lines coming, and that person who brought the LED had no idea. He said it has never happened this way.
My God.
Swami is just, you think you are doing He's just holy. So then we all were very tensed, and then I almost cried and I said, Swami, please do something. At least you should find the fault, because now it is set up there. You can't remove it. You cannot not remove it. You cannot use it. It was such a tension. Then finally that person, when he went, he found out that the power coming to the LED had a low voltage.
Okay.
So he said, because of that, these lines were coming on the screen. And believe it or not, on the when Swami actually came and when the program was going on, that screen ran on raw government power. Because the time was too short to actually arrange a separate generator. And I just asked one or two of those people, do you think power cut will be there? They said, no. Jai Sai Ram. Just put it on. I mean, he takes you to the, you know, to the limit. And then this Prema Pram, I'm glad Sai Krishna mentioned about it, because it has taught me so many lessons. And this will, you know, will be our guidepost and for this entire life. Because in that, clearly two things came out. One is, you are not the doer. Definitely you are not the doer. Swami is doer. Second thing is, if Swami wants something to happen, the whole universe may stand upside down. It will happen.
At the same time, I would like to just say that you are not the doer. That doesn't give you the right to say, I won't put the effort.
That's right.
You need to put the effort and then believe you are not the doer. That's the toughest part. It's not about, I can just believe I am not the doer and not do anything. That doesn't work. Sai Prakash has to do all the effort, make all the clips, put the LED on. Then the lines come, then you believe you are not the doer, that's when Swami comes in and says, okay, you learned the lesson, I will not give you the lines. That's the thing.
Like, I think exactly. It's the scale of things, you know. One thing is to put your effort and get success. There is a kind of fulfillment in that. When you put your effort, you know that I've done it and I've got it. There is a certain amount of fulfillment in that. But the fulfillment which comes when you put all your effort and it happens, and at the end of it you know that I'm not the doer. I think that satisfaction is little more, I would say, sublime compared to this, and that will happen only when Swami gives you that insight that, you know, you're not the doer.
Correct.
It's not that, again, it's not that you've not done anything. You've done what was best in your capacity, and then see that you're not the doer.
No, you know, speaking from this series point of view, from this series that we have been discussing through all these sessions, you are the doer in a sense if you associate yourself with Swami. Your true nature, your true nature being Swami, being one with Swami, is the doer. Not you as this body or this entity. That's all I think. Right. That's the crux of the whole thing. He did through you. As long as you have that feeling that Swami is the one who is doing it through me. He is the one who is doing, he and I are one. That is the ultimate.
And about youth, because this whole topic is about building the youth. I would say one thing I have observed. See, as you have said, I have been alumni of the institute, and then I have had the fortune of working, you know, I would say the best opportunity I have ever had is to work in Radio Sai. I have learnt a lot of lessons here. And after going out, it's like this, you put a sapling, you water it carefully, not that you may enjoy the fruits, at the end of it, someday it will bear the fruits and somebody else might enjoy it. You are sacrificing it now so that the next generation can enjoy it. So that's what I see when I went out. The set of principles which Swami has given us, the set of thoughts that Swami has put in us is so different. You can feel it. I'm not saying others don't have sacrifice, others didn't sacrifice anything or any of those things. But only thing I would say is, when we do a thing, it is singularly focused on whether this will please Swami, and that focus comes when you really, you know, want to do for the country, for the nation, for the people. That has Swami has ingrained it in us without knowing. We don't know that we have it in us, and many of the means all in Sai fold. I feel they believe and they do in this way. That's what, you know, Swami building up youth. He has started years ago, decades ago, and now it is bearing the fruit. Definitely these youth groups which are there from various states, various countries, right. If they are doing something today, it is the hard work of Swami. He has gone through himself. If you see, he has not sat idle for one day. He has done all through his life and showed through example that you have, I am God, still I put my effort. Even though I am God, I know that I can sit and get things done. I have put my effort. I think I shared one episode with Sai Prakash because Mr. Raman Rao gave an interview in Radio Sai.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then one day Swami was very tired after morning session. It was almost 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, in the afternoon. So again, evening darshan was approaching. So Raman Rao, Mr. Raman Rao was saying to Swami, "Swami, why don't you take rest?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You can relax. It's not, means people won't mind. They know that you have taken so much effort in the morning." And then Swami said, "Do you think that I go to the devotees to give darshan to them? No, I see in each one of them myself. So when I am having that kind of feeling and going, I am not actually thinking that I am giving darshan. Swami, like what I am saying is doership, you just see at Swami's level. He is saying I am not doing. He himself is giving up the doership. He is saying I am seeing in every one of them myself. So I am not, he said, you might think it is a joke. It is not. I am very serious about it." Then the, you know, the doership.
In the early years of Swami's avatar, pre-old Mandir days, when Swami was staying in the house of Karnam, when Swami was staying, used to interact with devotees in the Karnam Subhama's house, those early years. Swami would give interviews till 11, 12, 1 in the night. Groups of people used to come and Swami used to sit with them. Even in their house, they had given one room as Swami's personal interview room, where Swami used to sit and talk. And Karnam Kamalamma, the other Karnam's other wife, she used to come and plead with Swami, "Swami, why are you doing this? What are you doing this for? You can speak to them tomorrow. You can, you know, why are you straining yourself so much?" And Swami said, "If I don't do this, even crows and flies will not come here." No, look at it, putting it in perspective. Here is Swami, who at the age of 14 declared that, you know, I'm an avatar, I've come to accomplish a task. And he said, "The world is going to come to me. The world is waiting for me." He knew exactly what is there in the future. But he said, "At this stage, I need to work like this." You know, for the understanding of the people, he said, otherwise crows and flies will not come. But he said, "No, at this time, I need to stretch myself. I need to put that, you know, extra hour." As you said, you know, there's no second thought about that.
One more thing is, Prem, that if you see Swami's this phase of life, one thing is, as a youth, I'm not telling Swami as a god. Swami, Satya Sai Baba, as a youth, if you see, he has put in lot of hard work, lot of patience. See, he didn't expect, "Today I plant a sapling, tomorrow it will be a tree." He knew that it take 20 years for it to be a tree. Then only it will start bearing fruits. So today's youth, if you see, even including me, I would want, in the age of internet, I would want everything by a click.
Instant
I don't
evidence.
Have patience. I don't have patience to sacrifice to see the result 20 years later. I would feel, what is the need for me to sacrifice now and then 20 years later somebody else is going to get the benefit? But I think that perspective which Swami has brought in us, that patience, even God, I am God, even though I am God, I did all that a human has to do and the effort that. So I think the youth today, that is one very important point, that you have to have patience, hard work, effort, and then the non-doership comes. Like that, the final.
Very true. It's amazing.
In this discourse, especially when Swami is talking about the youth, you know, he says that it's natural for you to be proud in this age, to be hasty, to be fearless, to be indifferent to an extent. It's almost like when you said that you had to run that screen on raw power. Youth is like raw power. That's what Swami is saying. There's immense opportunity in youth. You have the energy, you have that fearlessness, you have that you know, go-get-it attitude. But you need that direction. And that's why many times, you know, we've discussed it during the independence time or during any revolution in any part of the world. There's always that youth, you know, if you could fire them up and if you could get them in the right direction, what could be achieved was, you know, was immense.
Correct.
And that's what I mean. Even if you look at our independence struggle, name it, be it Bhagat Singh or be it those very fiery Subhash Chandra Bose, all of them in their 20s, 30s. And I think to a great extent, that's what Swami achieved. When Swami put himself in between our youthful exuberance and said that, "Do it for me. Do it to please me." You know, that was one very positive direction to what we could achieve and a positive direction for our energies.
Correct.
I think that's what Swami is doing even now. It's very not true. That it happened before and it's not happening now.
Mm.
Right. As you said, yeah, positive energy and focused effort. That
right.
Focused effort is something like which we need to learn from Swami. If you see everything, he decided 60 years back he's going to start a super specialty hospital, but he had worked 60 years to build that.
Correct.
He had worked 60 years. He could have said at the beginning of 14 years, I want to build this hospital and please give funds. Funds might have come. Definitely would have come. I wouldn't doubt it. It would have come. But he showed it's not that easy. You need to have fought. Between 14 and 60, there are 46 years that he went through to get where it is today.
So shall we go to the clip? Next clip? The last two clips left. We'll play the penultimate one.
కనుక విద్యార్థులు ఈ వయస్సు చాలా పవిత్రమైన వయస్సు. ఫర్ స్టూడెంట్స్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ ఏజ్ ఈజ్ మోస్ట్ సీక్రెట్ మోస్ట్ ప్రెషర్. ఈ కాయమును ఈ కాలమును ఈ కర్మను సార్థకం గావించుకోవాలి. దెర్ ఇస్ నీడ్ ఫర్ యూ టు జస్టిఫై అండ్ శాంక్టిఫై దిస్ బాడీ దిస్ టైమ్ అండ్ ఆల్ యువర్ యాక్షన్స్. చక్కగా చదవండి, స్టడీ వెల్, మంచి తరగతిలో ఉత్తీర్ణులు కాండి, పాస్ వెల్. కానీ ఈ చదువును సమాజంలో ఉపయోగపెట్టండి. బట్ యూజ్ దిస్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఫర్ ది గుడ్ ఆఫ్ ది సొసైటీ. కేవలం డిగ్రీ నిమిత్తమై మీరు చదవనక్కర్లేదు. డూ నాట్ స్టడీ ఫర్ ద సేక్ ఆఫ్ ఒబ్టైనింగ్ డిగ్రీస్. ఈ డిగ్రీల వల్ల వచ్చేటువంటి ప్రయోజనం ఏమీ లేదు. వాట్ ఈస్ ఇట్ దట్ యు ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు అచీవ్ బై దీస్ డిగ్రీస్? మన పూర్వీకులు ఈ విధమైన చదువులు ఏమీ చదవలేదు. అవర్ ఏన్షియన్స్ డిడ్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్. కానీ చదువులు అధికమయ్యే కొలది కూడాను అహంకారం కూడా పెరుగుతూ వస్తుంది. బట్ విత్ దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఇంక్రీజింగ్, arrogance also is growing. Ahankaram perigina mana yokka atma balam taggipothundi. If the ego grows, divine power reduces. Divyattvam perigina ahankaram taggipothundi. If divinity in you grows, kudanu pillala aadetunte seesa maadiri untuntadi. The relationship between ego and divinity is the same as that you get in the seesa.
Vidyarthulara aadhyatmika margam atyavasaram.
They are students. Spiritual life,
దైవభావం ఏర్పడటం చేతనే ఈనాడు లోకములో మానవులు క్రూర మృగముల కంటే హీనంగా ప్రవర్తిస్తున్నారు.
మ్యాన్ టుడే హెస్ బికమ్ వర్స్ దాన్ ఎ క్రూయల్ ఎనిమల్ బికాస్ హీ హెస్ గివెన్ అప్ ద డివైన్ అండ్ సీక్రెట్ ఫీలింగ్స్ ఇన్ హిమ్.
మనకు ధనము ప్రధానము కాదు.
వెల్త్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఫర్ అస్.
ధనమెచ్చిన మనమెచ్చును.
ఇఫ్ వెల్త్ గ్రోస్ యువర్
మనమెచ్చిన దుర్గుణము మానక హెచ్చు.
If with your arrogance, all the bad qualities
are...
If wealth declines... If your arrogance declines, good qualities also will increase.
Manaka palavulu kani, leka dhanamu kani, gaurava pratishthalu kani, kadilipoye meghamulu.
Power and authority, money, wealth, name and fame, all these are...
Ee ahankarame manavuni atapatanam chestundadi.
It is this ego which brings down man to a state of
animal.
Why are you so much proud of yourself? On what basis? There is no basis
for
that. There is only stupidity which is the basis.
Kanuka ahankaram undatam chetane manamu tanantane marchipothunnadu manavudu.
Man is forgetting his own real nature because of his ego.
Tanantane marchatame pedda bandhana.
The greatest bondage is forgetting one's own real
nature. Tanantane gurtinchukovatame nijamaina sakshatkaram.
Recognizing who he really is the real sakshatkaram.
Japamulu, dhyanamulu, yogamulu, karmalu, sevalu aneka rakamuluga chesinappatikini kani mana yokka manasattvam ye matramu maraledu.
Whatever sadhanas, whatever education, whatever good deeds you do, we are not transforming our own mind.
Vidyarthulara manishi marinanta matramana prayojanam ledu, manasu maarali.
By mere change of man, there is no use. There, the mind should change.
Guddalu maarinanta valla vacheyatundi phaltam em ledu, gunam maarali.
By change of clothes, you are not going to get anything.
Gunamu maarakunda enni vidhamainatundi yokka abhivruddhi margamunu manam anubhavinchamani nirraveegina kaani adi kevalam verutaname kaani adi pavitramainatundi margam kaadu.
Whatever progress and success you achieve, it is not going to be of any avail if you do not develop good qualities and
virtues. Bhavishyattulaku nayakulu.
Today's students are tomorrow's leaders.
Meeru sariyainatundi sthiti endu undinappude desam sariyainatundi sthitini anubhavistundi.
ఓన్లీ వెన్ యూఆర్ ఇన్ ఏ గుడ్ స్టేట్ ద నేషన్ విల్ బి
దేశం యొక్క మంచి చెడ్డలన్నీ కూడా విద్యార్థులపైనే ఆధారపడి ఉంటుందని.
ద ఫ్యూచర్ వెల్ఫేర్ ఆర్ అదర్వైజ్ ఆఫ్ ద నేషన్ ఎంటైర్లీ డిపెండ్స్ అపాన్ ద
విద్యార్థులు మంచివారైనా నీతి నిజాయితీలనే మంతులైనా అప్పుడు దేశం కూడాను మంచి ఆదర్శవంతమైన దేశంగా నిరూపించవచ్చు.
ఇఫ్ ది స్టూడెంట్స్ ఫాలో ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ మొరాలిటీ అండ్ ఇంటిగ్రిటీ ద నేషన్ వుడ్ ప్రాస్పర్ అండ్ మేక్ గుడ్ ప్రోగ్రెస్.
భారతదేశము అనాది కాలం నుండి ఇటు సత్కీర్తిని సంపాదించినటువంటిది.
రైట్ ఫ్రమ్ ఏన్షియన్ డేస్ భారత్ హ్యాడ్ ఎర్న్డ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ రెప్యుటేషన్ అండ్ ఎ గుడ్ నేమ్.
కనుక ఆ యొక్క ప్రాచీన సంస్కృతిని తిరిగి మీరు పునరుద్ధరింపచేయండి.
రెస్టోర్ ద ఏన్షియంట్ కల్చర్ టు ఇట్స్ ప్రిస్టైన్ గ్లోరీ.
ఈ పవిత్రమైనటువంటి సంస్కృతి వల్లనే అన్ని దేశములు కూడా అనేక రకమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఆనందాన్ని అందుకుంటూ వచ్చారు.
నాట్ మెర్లీ భారత్, ఆల్ ది కంట్రీస్ ఎంజాయ్ ఆల్ ప్రాస్పరిటీ అండ్ వెల్ఫేర్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది సేక్రెడ్ కార్యక్రమం.
భారతీయులే ఈ యొక్క ధర్మమును ఈ యొక్క సంస్కృతి యొక్క విశిష్టతను గుర్తించుకోలేకపోతున్నారు.
బట్ అన్ఫార్చునేట్లీ టుడే ఇండియన్ దెమ్సెల్స్ ఆర్ నాట్ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు రియలైజ్ ద సేక్రెడ్నెస్ ఆఫ్ దర్ ధర్మ అండ్ దర్ కల్చర్.
కనుక భారతదేశం అనేటువంటిది సర్వదేశములకు కూడాను నాయకత్వాన్ని వహించినటువంటిది, పవిత్రమైనటువంటి దివ్య సందేశాలు అందించినటువంటి దేశము.
భారత్ ఈజ్ వన్ విచ్ ప్రొవైడెడ్ లీడర్షిప్ టు ఆల్ ద నేషన్స్ ఇన్ ద పాస్ట్ అండ్ ఆఫర్డ్ గ్రేట్ ఐడియల్స్ టు ఆల్ ద నేషన్స్.
ఇతిహాస పురాణముల యొక్క ప్రమాణములను ఆదర్శ రూపమైనటువంటి యొక్క రూపములో అన్యోన్యమైనటువంటి భావముతో ప్రకటించి ప్రచురించినటువంటిది భారతదేశము.
భారత్ ఈజ్ వన్ విచ్ షోర్డ్ గ్రేట్ లెసన్స్ యాజ్ ఎక్స్పౌండెడ్ ఇన్ వేరియస్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్ లైక్ వేదాస్.
కానీ ఈనాడు ఆచరణ రూపమైన ప్రచార ప్రబోధన సన్నలగిల్లటం చేతనే మన భారతీయ సంస్కృతిని కేవలం ఎవరు కూడా గుర్తించడానికి వీలు కాకుండా ఉంటుంది.
నో వన్ హస్ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు రికగ్నైజ్ టుడే ద గ్రేట్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియన్ కల్చర్ బికాస్ ది టీచింగ్స్ ఆర్ నాట్ అకంపెనీడ్ బై ద ప్రాక్టీస్.
విద్యార్థురారా, మూడు మాత్రం మీరు ఎప్పుడు కూడా మరవకూడదు.
డియర్ స్టూడెంట్స్, డూ నాట్ ఫర్గెట్ త్రీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ యువర్ లైఫ్ అట్ ఎనీ టైమ్.
భారతీయులు సత్యవ్రతులు, ధర్మపరాయణులు.
భారతీయస్ ఆల్వేస్ ఆర్ ది అడ్హర్ టు ట్రూత్ అండ్ ది ఫాలో రైట్.
భారతీయులకు ఆటపట్టు.
జస్టిస్ ఈజ్ ది వెరీ లైఫ్ బ్రెత్ ఫార్ ది భారతీయస్.
కనుక నీవు సత్య ధర్మ నీతి నిజాయితీలతో మనము జీవించడానికి తగిన కృషి చేయాలి.
యూ షుడ్ మేక్ ఎఫర్ట్స్ టు లివ్ ఆన్ ది బేసిస్ ఆఫ్
ధర్మ. సత్యం వద, ధర్మం చెర, ఈ రెండింటిని మనం ప్రధానంగా తీసుకోవాలి.
దట్ ఈస్ వై వేదాస్ హావ్ ఆల్సో డిక్లేర్డ్ యాజ్ స్పీక్ ట్రూత్ అండ్ ఫాలో రైచియస్నెస్.
కనుక ఈ 15 దినముల నుంచి కూడాను మీరు తెలుసుకున్న గుర్తించిన సత్యాలను వర్తించడానికి తగిన ప్రయత్నం చేసినప్పుడే ఇది సార్థకం అవుతుంది.
వాట్ ఎవర్ యూ హ్యావ్ లెర్న్ రికగ్నైజ్ అండ్ రియలైజ్ ఇన్ దీస్ 15 డేస్, ఓన్లీ వెన్ యూ ప్రాక్టీస్ దెమ్
దేశం యొక్క అభిమానాన్ని మాత్రం మీరు ఏనాడు కూడా మీరు వదలకూడదు.
యూ వుడ్ నెవర్ గివ్ అప్ యువర్ లవ్ ఫర్ ద నేషన్.
ఏ దేశం వారు ఆయా దేశాభిమానాన్ని పెంచుకోవడంలో తప్పు లేదు.
దెర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ రాంగ్ ఇన్ డెవలపింగ్ లవ్ ఫర్
దేశాభిమానం. తాను పెంచుకుని పరదేశంను మాత్రం మనం విమర్శించకూడదు.
లవ్ ఫర్ వన్స్ ఓన్ నేషన్ డజంట్ మీన్ క్రిటిసైజింగ్ అనదర్స్ నేషన్.
ఏ మతాన్ని కూడా మనం ఏమాత్రం కూడా అలక్ష్యం చేయకూడదు.
వు షుడ్ నాట్ షో డిస్రెస్పెక్ట్ ఫర్ ఎనీ అదర్ రిలీజియన్. వు షుడ్ నాట్ క్రిటిసైజ్.
ఆ విధమైనటువంటి విశాల భావాన్ని మనం పెంచుకోవాలి.
డెవలప్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ బ్రాడ్ మైండెడ్నెస్ ఇన్ యూ.
పరమ పావనమైన భరతావనియందు సహనమన్నద మనకు చక్కదనము.
ఇన్ దిస్ గ్రేట్ సీక్రెట్ భారత్ ఇట్ ఈస్ పేషెన్స్ విచ్ ఈస్ బ్యూటీ.
వ్రతములన్నిటియందు ఘన సత్యశీలమే కఠిన తపము.
అమంగ్ ఆల్ ద పెనన్సెస్ అండ్ వోస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫాలోయింగ్ ద పాత్ ఆఫ్ ట్రూత్ అండ్ ఇంటిగ్రిటీ విచ్ ఇస్ ది గ్రేటెస్ట్ పెనన్స్ అండ్ వౌ.
నిజముగా ఈ పవిత్రమైనటువంటి దేశం యొక్క ఘనతను ఎంత వర్ణించినా కూడా సాధ్యం కాదు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇంపాసిబుల్ టు ఎగ్జాస్ట్ దట్ ప్రాపర్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ గ్రేట్నెస్ నేషన్ అండ్ ఇట్స్ యునీక్నెస్.
తల్లి ప్రేమ కంటే అమితమైనటువంటి ప్రేమను అందించినటువంటిది ఈ దేశం.
దిస్ కంట్రీ అండ్ నేషన్ ఇస్ వన్ విచ్ హస్ కన్ఫర్డ్ ఆన్ ఇట్స్ సిటిజన్స్ లవ్ గ్రేటర్ దాన్ దర్ ఓన్ మదర్స్.
ఇలాంటి పవిత్రమైన దేశాన్ని మనం ఈనాడు విస్మరించి విదేశాలను విశ్వసించి మన జీవితాన్ని భ్రష్టు పట్టించుకుంటున్నాం.
వీఆర్ డిస్ట్రాయింగ్ అవర్ ఓన్ లైఫ్ హ్యావింగ్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ అదర్ నేషన్స్ గివింగ్ అప్ ఫెయిత్ అండ్ లవ్ ఫర్ అవర్ ఓన్ సీక్రెట్ మదర్ ల్యాండ్.
కాన విద్యార్థులారా, దేశాభిమానాన్ని పెంచుకుని దేశం యొక్క గౌరవాన్ని, దేశం యొక్క సంస్కృతిని, దేశం యొక్క ఔన్నత్యాన్ని మీరే కాపాడాలి.
డియర్ స్టూడెంట్స్, డెవలప్ లవ్ ఫర్ ద నేషన్, టేక్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్స్ ఓన్ గ్రేట్నెస్ అండ్ సీ ఇట్స్ సీక్రెట్నెస్ అండ్ ఇట్స్ గ్రేట్నెస్ ఆర్ రెస్టోర్డ్.
మీ దృష్టి లోక సమస్త సుఖినో భవంతు, అందరూ సుఖంగా ఉండాలనేటువంటి ఒక ప్రార్థన చేయండి.
ఆల్వేస్ ప్రే ఫర్ ద వెల్ఫేర్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎంటైర్ వరల్డ్.
ఏ దేశం పైన కానీ, ఏ మతం పైన కానీ, ఏ వ్యక్తి పైన కానీ మీకు ఏమాత్రం కూడా ద్వేషం కానీ ఒక విధమైన అయిష్టము కానీ మీరు పెంచుకోకూడదు.
టు నాట్ డెవలప్ ఎన్మిటీ ఆర్ డిస్లైక్ ఫర్ ఎనీ నేషన్, ఎనీ రిలీజియన్, ఎనీ పర్సన్, ఎనీ కంట్రీ.
విశాల 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 భావాన్ని పెంచుకోవాలి.
బ్రాడన్ యువర్ విజన్, బ్రాడన్ యువర్ మైండ్.
సంకుచితమైన భావాన్ని త్యజించాలి.
గివ్ అప్ నారో మైండెడ్నెస్.
ఇది భారతీయుడి నిజమైనటువంటి యొక్క సంస్కృతి.
దాట్ ఈస్ ట్రూ కల్చర్ ఆఫ్ భారతీయాస్.
అందువల్లనే ఆశ్రమతమనందు లోక సమస్త సుఖినో భవంతు అన్నటువంటి యొక్క చిరంజీవి అయినటువంటి యొక్క ఈ పదములు నిరంతరము కూడా స్మరిస్తూనే ఉంటుండాలి.
దట్ ఈస్ వై దీస్ ఇమ్మార్టల్ వర్డ్స్ లెట్ ఎవ్రీ కంట్రీ అండ్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ బీ హ్యాపీ ఈస్ ది మంత్ర విచ్ ఈస్ చాంటెడ్ బై ది
భగవద్భక్తిని మాత్రము ఎవరే విధంగా తూలనాడినా, ఎవరే విధంగా మిమ్మల్ని హాస్యాస్పదంగా చూచినా దీనిని మాత్రం మీరు వదలకండి.
కమ్ వాట్ మే, లెట్ ఎనీవన్ క్రిటిసైజ్ ఆర్ కామెంట్ ఆర్ రిడిక్యూల్ యూ, డూ నాట్ గివ్ అప్.
భగవత్ ప్రేమనే లేకపోతే ఈ జగత్తంతా శూన్యమే.
ది ఎంటైర్ వరల్డ్ ఈజ్ ఎ నలిటీ.
ప్రేమనే భగవంతుడు, భగవంతుడే ప్రేమ.
లవ్ ఈజ్ గాడ్, గాడ్ ఈజ్ లవ్.
కనుక ఈ ప్రేమను మీరు పెంచుకోండి.
డెవలప్ దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్
ఎలాంటి పరిస్థితులు ఏంటైనా ఈ ప్రేమకు భంగం కలిగించకండి.
డూ నాట్ గివ్ అప్ సచ్ సీక్రెట్ లవ్. అండ్
కష్టములు, నష్టములు, దుఃఖములు, విచారములు ఎన్ని వెంటాడినప్పటికీ ప్రేమను మాత్రం మీరు వదలకండి. భగవత్ ప్రేమను.
డూ నాట్ గివ్ అప్ లవ్ ఫర్ గాడ్ అండర్ ఎనీ సర్కమ్స్టాన్సెస్, వాట్ ఎవర్ బి ద డిఫికల్టీస్, ప్రాబ్లమ్స్.
మీ వెంట, జంట, ఇంట, కంట ఉంటుంది, మిమ్మల్ని కాపాడుతూ వస్తుంది.
ఇట్ ఈస్ దిస్ లవ్ ఫర్ గాడ్ విచ్ కెన్ గివ్ యూ ప్రొటెక్షన్ అండర్ ఆల్ సర్కమ్స్టాన్సెస్, అకంపనీయింగ్ యూ అట్ ఆల్ టైమ్స్.
కష్టములు వచ్చినాయని భగవంతుని ఏమాత్రం కూడా నువ్వు నిందించకూడదు.
వెన్ యూ ఫేస్ డిఫికల్టీస్ అండ్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ డూ నాట్ క్రిటిసైజ్ గాడ్.
ఇది నీలో పేరుకున్నటువంటి స్వార్థము.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ దిస్
భగవంతుడు ఏ నిమిత్తమై ఏ కారణం చేత నీకు కష్టాన్ని అందించాడు,
ఫర్ వాట్ జస్టిఫైడ్.
అది కూడా ఒక అనుగ్రహ ప్రసాదమని మీరు భావించాలి.
యుడ్ ఆల్వేస్ కన్సిడర్ ఆల్ డిఫికల్టీస్ గివన్ బై గాడ్ యాజ్ గిఫ్ట్స్ ఫర్ యువర్ ఓన్ గుడ్.
కనుక నీ జీవితం అనేటువంటిది సుఖదుఖములకు మధ్యలో ఉండినటువంటిది.
లైఫ్ ఈజ్ శాండ్విచ్ బిట్వీన్ జాయ్ అండ్ సారో.
కాన మీరు ఈ ప్రాకృతమైనటువంటి యొక్క బాధలను ఏమాత్రమూ లెక్క చేయకుండా భగవద్భావాన్ని, భగవత్ విశ్వాసాన్ని దృఢముగా కలిగి ఉండినప్పుడు ఎన్నైనా కూడా మనం ఎదుర్కొని దాన్ని సాధించవచ్చును.
డూ నాట్ వరీ అండ్ బాదర్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ అబౌట్ దిస్ ఓన్లీ డిఫికల్టీస్. హ్యావ్ ఫర్మ్ ఫెయిత్ అండ్ లవ్ ఫర్ గాడ్. యూ కెన్ ఫేస్ ఎనీ డిఫికల్టీస్ అండ్ కాంకర్ దెమ్ అండ్ అచీవ్ విక్టరీ.
ఎలాంటి పరిస్థితులు ఎందుకొని కూడాను భగవత్ నామాన్ని మీరు మరవకూడదు.
డూ నాట్ గివ్ అప్ చాంటింగ్ ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ అండర్ ఎనీ సర్కమ్స్టాన్సెస్ అండ్ రిమెంబరింగ్
నామమే మీ జీవిత యొక్క ప్రవాహంలో నావగా తోడ్పడుతుంది.
That name itself becomes a boat for you to save you in the flow of life.
Kanuka, namasmarana cheyandi.
Chant the name of the Lord.
That's the last part of that discourse. After that, Goswami sings that bhajan.
I just feel like, you know, continue to hear really. So sweet and so loving his advice to his students. I don't think any master would have given it this way. Because, you know, the way Swami is telling one thing after another, one thing after another, I'm reminded of some of the interview sessions where we would go in as a class and Swami would very lovingly, slowly keep giving that advice. It was very much like that.
If you see from nations to countries, means what I would say, from the world to nations to villages today, what is it that is stopping their growth? Mm-hmm. It is that narrow-mindedness. My this thing, I want only development for mine. If somebody else is developing, I cannot be there to see it. All the conflict is because of over resources in one country causing, you know, conflict in another. So Swami says, give up that narrow-mindedness, expand. If really, truly we listen to Swami and His message, I think that's the only solution. If you keep listening to it, that is the only solution. And last part, he says, Namasmarana is the boat which is going to save you. I think all of us have that experience that has saved us a million times from our sorrow and a million times from our failures.
It saved us many times from the wrath of Swami Himself.
Yes.
There is this wonderful story about faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very famous one, you must have read it. There is this man who goes for hiking one day and he's all alone. He's going into a mountainous path and he slips into a crevice, you know, falls down a cliff and it's few hundred feet deep. So there's no way he can survive. So as he's falling, he's trying to hold on to something or the other which he gets, and finally he catches hold of some roots which are hanging there, one of the branches, and he's hanging. So though he has managed to stop himself from, you know, falling down, there's no way he's going to get up all the way and get out of safety. So he's there and he doesn't know what to do. He's shouting and, at the top of his voice. And finally he says that, God, if you really are there, please come and save me. And then he hears a voice saying that, yeah, I'm there. I'm coming to save you. And this guy is even more shocked if the fall is not giving him all the, you know, shock. So then God says, the voice of God says that, you know, let go, I will save you. No, let go of the branch you're holding, I'll save you. He said, is there anybody else? Okay, so that's the story, and he says that he's not ready to let go. And the conclusion of the story is, next day few other hikers come that way, and they see a man who's holding on to a branch, and he has died frozen to death, because it's very cold, just 2 feet away from ground. And you know, whenever the story is said, he said, if he had just let go, what a boost to his confidence it would have been. What a boost to his faith it would have been. And I think that's what Swami is saying, that when he says give up that narrow-mindedness, do selfishness, he's saying it's like that, just let go of that selfishness for one bit and, you know, you will see miracles.
Actually, what we do is, I think we don't give Swami a chance. Actually, that's what I feel. At some point I feel we want the results of what Swami says. You have faith, I will give you heaven, is what Swami says, and we want heaven, but at the same time we don't want to have the faith. We don't want to give up. At the end of the turn, we don't know what is there in the next week, what we cannot see, which He can see, but we still want to depend on our thoughts, our decisions, our experience. It's all my. We don't want to give Swami a chance and then blame Swami that He didn't help us.
In that Prema Vahini book, He gives a very beautiful analogy. Swami says, God is first like your teacher.
Okay.
Who encourages you, who teaches you, and He is encouraging you to learn and grow. Then, even as a teacher, He is at a distance. He is only teaching you. Then He says, when He sees that you have put in your effort and you have given up attachment to bhoga, to enjoyment, and you want to really go forward, then He says He comes encouragingly near like the sun god. He says He comes to your doorstep like the sun god, and He's standing right outside your door. But like a faithful servant, He does not intrude. It is up to you to open the door. He says, He's waiting right outside your house. He's waiting at your doorstep. But if your door is closed, He cannot. The moment you open your door, His light floods in and He takes over. So He says that you have to do.
Right. And Namasmarana, I don't know whether it is related, non-related to this topic. But I would just like to recollect this one very beautiful incident that is etched in my heart. And more than me, it would have been inscribed in Sai Prakash's heart, I would say, is that Delhi flight which we had with Swami from Delhi to Puttaparthi.
Correct.
And in that session, today if I think of it, I just cannot say that again I would get that chance. Like, it's impossible. We had a on-flight concert with Swami. Right. And that was a prayer of Sai Prakash. He was so much praying and there were so many difficulties that might take even another session to explain the difficulties we went through. And then that session of 1 hour of what we had is something for life's times. Even Narada would not have been traveling with Narayana while giving a concert. I don't know.
30,000 feet in the air. Right.
And that's the power of Namasmarana. What I'm saying is, we all prayed for it a lot and then Swami gave that.
Correct.
And we gave up also. At one point of time, it might not happen. We gave up also.
Correct.
So maybe when he said let go, we did let go and then we saw the result of giving, like you said in example, like, At one point, Sai Prakash did let go. Okay, no, it might not happen.
In fact, it was so funny because the moment we boarded the flight, there were many extra seats. And so I said, I want a double seat. They were wondering, what is this fellow up to? I just opened up my sitar and started tuning it there. Because I said, yes, we should be ready. Why not? If Swami just says, yes, there we should go and play. And Swami did. Swami says, I am always saying, yes, yes, yes. You have to be ready, that's all. And as Sai Krishna said, that sincere prayer, in fact, it was very beautiful because they said, Swami, boys want to sing, it's a 2 hour flight. And then Swami said, this is not my flight. You have to ask the captain.
Right.
So when the captain was asked, he was more than happy. He said, where will we get a flight with live entertainment? He said, but when the boys started singing, we could actually see the captain and the co-pilot taking turns to come out and peep from their cockpit and just enjoy the wonderful sight of Swami sitting there and then all the students sitting around him. What a sight to see.
It just goes to say how much Swami did to encourage Namasmarana.
That's true. That's true. And just like Swami responded to our prayer, He will do even today. That's the lesson that we have to take back with us.
I think as you said, Sun God is waiting at the doorstep. It is up to you to open the door is one thing. But if you are blind to the light, that is different thing. Again, you are allowing the light to enter, but at the same time, if you don't realize the value of the light which you are receiving, that is something. So connection always depends upon two sides. Okay, you allowed it. Still, in what way are you focusing that sunlight to help you? That is also one
that
thing.
That is true, but the fact remains that it doesn't matter for the sunlight.
Right, it doesn't matter.
Light is there.
Yes.
Now, how you use it is up to you.
Yes.
And that's the beauty. In fact, in Prema Vahini, he has mentioned again, because we are also studying the book Prema Vahini, just for interest. You know, there Swami is saying, the Namasmarana, in fact, this is exactly what he says. He says, the Nama will give you the energy. How you use that energy is again up to you.
Oh.
He says, it will always give you good energy. But how you use that energy is up to you.
I mean, that's a very beautiful point because once someone was talking about, you know, it's become a trend now. Spirituality is being parceled and marketed very, very well.
Correct.
And this person whom I was talking to, he was saying, let's say if you are in a problem and I come and tell you, sit down, sit calm, do meditation, it will work. It doesn't need me to be a great person for that.
Correct.
He said, you know, the greatness lies in the technique. So whoever tells it works. But the importance is, after you get a certain amount of calm, after you get a certain amount of focus and the ability to do things the right way, is your mind transformed enough to do the right thing? Now, you get the sharpness of the knife, but are you having that discrimination to use that knife for the right thing? And that's why Swami is, even in this part, you know, where we played, he's saying it's not that man should change, the mind should change.
Correct.
You know, the transformation is very important.
Here, in fact, when he's talking about ego, and he says how you are filled with ego, he says it's like a seesaw. Ego and spirituality is like a seesaw. If the ego is up, spirituality is down. There's no doubt about it.
And the way Swami said, you know, there's a quote, very famous one. It says, humility is honesty. You know, we think humility is when you are great and you think that you are small. He says the humility is you are small and you know that you are small. Because Swami says, you know, where is the question of you being proud?
Correct.
Where is it? And then Swami would often say that, you know, that the earth is so large. India is a one country in that, and Andhra Pradesh is one state in that. You know, that series with Swami would say, you are after all one tiny entity in this entire creation. Where is the question of the ego for, you know, coming from?
And there are so many things which are out of our purview to control. Just now I'm speaking. If I lose my speech, what do I do? It's like you cannot
you have no control.
You don't have control.
In fact, looking at the same thing from a different angle, it's there in Nisargadatta Maharaj's book. Very beautifully, one of the student, one of the disciples, he says, I know I'm God. Okay. What is left for me to do? I'm God. Then he says, what's the big deal in that? Every particle of sand is God. Everything is God. So what are you feeling elated about? Find out what you are not. To live in the experience of what you are not, that is what is important. You are God. That is the truth. Big deal. Everybody is God. Even the particle of sand that you see is God. Everything is God. But are you clear of what you are not?
That's really profound. It's,
I think that line needs a elaborate discussion, I think, really.
No, that's exactly what Swami is doing in the series of discourses.
Yes.
He starts with telling you are not the body, you are not the senses, you are not the mind, you are not...
I'm really tempted. I'm sure I've said this so many times before, but just to elaborate on what you said, you know, that that episode from Shirdi Sacharitra, where one of the devotees is chanting a verse from Bhagavad Gita.
Correct.
And Baba says that, why didn't you chant it aloud and give the meaning? There is that line which says, if you do all this, if you ask questions properly, if you prostrate and all that, the guru will come and give you jnana. No, that's the line. It's and the word which is used is a sandhi, which says, te jnanena. You know, we'll come and give you that jnana. Then Shirdi Baba asks him, split the word. Don't give me this one. You split the word and tell me as it is, word by word. So then the devotee says, te jnanena. Okay. Then Baba asks him, is there any other word you can use instead of jnana and still not change the word, change the lines? So he says, how can it be possible? He says, no, if you put another word in the place of jnana, it will still remain the same. Then this devotee says, yeah, instead of jnana, if you put ajnana, still it will be te jnanena. Because te jnanena and te ajnanena, when it becomes sandhi, is the same. Becomes te jnanena. But it doesn't make sense, Baba. It cannot be ajnana. He says, why, if ajnana is better, why don't we use ajnana? So he says, how is ajnana more perfect in that place? Then Shirdi Baba explains, the guru can never give you jnana because you already have it. You are the embodiment of that. The guru only gives you ajnana.
Correct.
The guru only comes and tells you that this is not jnana, this is not you.
This is not you.
The guru does is only gives you what is not wisdom.
Right.
Very beautiful. And then again, as always, Swami is bringing back the country and the love for the country. And this has been, I would say, in every convocation address, it's so powerful. And Swami has told it so many times that stick to your country. Stick to your country. And I remember in some discourses, Swami would say, just because another woman is beautiful, will you go and say that she is my mother? So here Swami, he makes one statement in this discourse. He says, the country has given you more love than your own mother. That's amazing.
And then of course, the interesting thing is Swami is saying that whichever country you belong to, you love that country.
Correct.
And don't look down upon any other country, any other culture, any other religion. And that's also a very important point which Swami says, because the I remember when I was in school, you know, one of my teachers used to say, because they used to have this problem of children fighting and then they go into a personal fight.
Okay.
You are like this, your father is like this, your mother is like this. So they had to put an end to it. This teacher would come and say, they always remember this, if you are talking ill of somebody else's parents or lineage or, you know, upbringing, which means you don't mind being spoken about that. You would not do it to another person if you don't like that to be done to you. And that kind of magically stopped the whole situation, got under control. Because here Swami is saying that you love your country, but it does not give you license to put down somebody else's country. Because the very fact that you love your country, it should show in the respect you give for other countries and other cultures.
Correct. Here, Swami is saying today's students are tomorrow's leaders. And as Sai Krishna was rightly mentioning, the slow process with which Swami has actually brought up his students. And today you see students in various, positions of power. And they have influence over so many people. Even by authority, they have hundreds of people working under them. And now, when they are having the right ideas in front of them, that automatically goes through to the rest of the company. It goes through to the relatives. It goes through to the neighbors.
And like slowly, just one small thing, like if a student really believes in, let's say, punctuality,
mm-hmm.
and if he's in a powerful position in the organization, if he starts doing it, just think what effect it would have in the whole organization. Just by contributing that another 10 minutes, you might be adding like 10,000 man hours you might be adding totally. So yeah, each drop, that's what Swami said, it has a multiplier effect. Just that you might not see the whole multiplier effect of your small deeds, but definitely one hospital Swami would have started. But then if you see, that has become a mission. Like everywhere we do medical camps, we do seva, that reflects this, that multiplier effect of every good deed is multiplied so many times, and every bad deed also has its own followers. So we should be very careful in what deed we do, because there are many followers to who believe in you when you are in position of power, as Sai Prakash said. So I think that also Swami has carefully ingrained in us. So when you do something, think and do, because there is somebody who is looking up to you. Maybe.
Very true. And of course, coming to the last portion where he says, develop love for God. And he says, even at the cost of somebody ridiculing you, don't give it up. Even if somebody is ridiculing you, be 100% confident and sure that this is the right thing to do. And develop that love for God. And in spite of anything, you should love your country. And again, he brings in this important point of take pain and pleasure, joy and sorrow with equanimity.
That I was speaking to one of our colleagues just some time back, and mm-hmm. he was telling one small experience wherein one of the army persons was talking in presence of, in Swami's presence, and the topic was dharma. And he said, Swami, in army, it is like if your superior says march and jump,
mm-hmm.
you're supposed to do it. You're not supposed to see the logic. So in that kind of culture, let's say if an army person says to me, if my superior says to me to do a immoral thing,
mm-hmm.
which I feel is not, to my belief, it's not moral, then how do I? Then Swami said, you should go and tell him this is not moral. Then he said, Swami, how do I say it? How do I say it, Swami? Because then I would be court-martialed. I wouldn't have a job. Then Swami said, so what? Then he said, Swami, so what? Like, I wouldn't have food to eat. I would be on the streets.
Correct.
My family would be on the streets. Then Swami said, so what? Then Swami said, you don't have the faith in dharma that dharma will protect you. Dharma will never take you to a place where it cannot protect you. It will protect you. Only thing, you are not giving it enough faith. Just like you are telling it, it might not protect me. You are taking your decision at very early stage. You are not giving it a chance. Like,
very true.
I mean, of course, I think the reason why Swami is that last part reiterating that devotion, and I remember once one of our lecturers was saying, I mean, just apart from what Swami has told, the content wise, Swami had once told, when you give a speech, what is the best way to give a speech?
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, you start from a point, it is like making a garland.
Mm-hmm.
You start at one point,
mm-hmm.
you go to the various beads, and mm-hmm. then you come back to the point where you started.
Mm.
In one of the first clips which we played from this discourse, Swami said, you know, morality is very important, manavatvam is very important, mm. all the beauty you see in this world is because of God, and that manavatvam will come only in a spiritual environment, only when there is devotion.
Mm.
And that's exactly the point where Swami has come. And you know, he's told about everything, idealism in youth, he's told about control of the senses, he's told about various things, what's the best way to bring in education into your life, how to use that education. And finally, Swami saying that, you know what, all this can be handled if you have love for God.
Mm.
And he says, what kind of love? Selfless love. Love that does not fluctuate with the situation in your life.
Correct.
Not love when you're, you know, comfortable, and not questioning it when you're in pain.
Mm. I think that's how Swami brings that, of course, again with the same Namasmarana. He comes back to that. And Namasmarana, he would always say that the name of the Lord and the form of the Lord go together. And Brother Sonam was explaining to us, and I think, I don't know whether he mentioned it on air or when I was talking to him later.
Okay.
On one of those occasions, Swami was talking to him about meditation. And he says, yes, you can chant the name of the Lord and you can imagine the form of the Lord. And then he said, Swami was talking to few others and something else was going on in Chennai. They were in Madras at that time. And suddenly Swami got back to him. Swami said, see, you have faith in me, no? You have faith in my form? You have faith in me? He said, yes, Swami. You see how simple Swami's form is. He says, you just have to see the hair, then you have to see my eyes, then you have to see my nose, my mole is there, then you can see my beautiful smile, and then you can see my chin, and then after that straight down to my feet. He says, straight down to my feet. What is meditation? You have faith in me, my form, you have faith in me, no? Just think of my form, that's all. He says, close your eyes, start revealing my form from the top. Very simple, that's why I have come in simple form. In a very casual tone, Swami is mentioning, I have come in a very simple. Now, imagine somebody is Lord Shiva's devotee. How many things he has to imagine? Swami is telling, he has to first think of the Jatajuta, he has to think of the moon, he has to think of the Ganga, he has to think of the third eye. If he misses something, again he has to go back. There is one serpent on the top, then one serpent. By the time he will sleep off. Swami is telling. So he says, name and form both go together. You chant my name, think of my form, and just reveal it in your mind's eye. That's enough. No other meditation is required.
Beautiful. I think we should leave our listeners with that thought. And of course, we're going to leave you, the listeners, with the bhajan that Swami sang at the end of that discourse. Sai Krishna, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, and, Swami. I want to practice non-doership. And as I came in, you asked just half an hour back. And I just feel I didn't decide to be here and I didn't decide to speak. So I'm starting to practice non-doership.
That's right. And Swami, by the way, teaches us this lesson more and more in this series also. Because we never plan our guests and he sends the right people at the right time.
So thanking Swami for that, dear listeners, on behalf of my brothers Sai Krishna and Sai Prakash here. And thanking all of you for being with us and giving us company. We will begin the last discourse in this series next week. Till then, we thank you and offer this humble effort of ours at Swami's Lotus Feet. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
Bhajan bina sukh shanti nahi. Hari bhajan bina sukh shanti nahi. Hari naam bina anand nahi. Hari naam bina anand nahi. Hari Hari bhajan bina sukh shanti nahi. Jat jaan bina sanyog nahi. Jat jaan Prabhu darsh bina prajnan nahi. Daya dharma bina satya karma nahi. Bhagavan bina koi apna nahi. Hari naam bina paramatma nahi. Hari naam bina paramatma nahi.
Thank you.